Hi, John. Thank you so much for having us on to help to get the truth out about what happened at Kenosha that night.
I want to introduce Wendy Rittenhouse to the conversation in just a moment, but let's just start with you, because I know you are more involved in the nuts and bolts of the case. And you told me off the air today that you're actually trying to raise bond for him. He needs $2 million. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. In Wisconsin, John, it is cash bail. There's no bond, you know, where you can post like 10% or whatever of the amount. So we need $2 million cash on the barrel head, so to speak, to bail him out. Lynn Wood at the Fight Back Foundation that I co-founded with him, and then, of course, stepped off the board once I took this case to avoid a conflict of interest. He has done a great job raising funds for the case. We built an amazing legal team, now we really need to keep pushing and get it over the goal line so we can get him out and get him with his family pending trial.
How much is in there if the goal is $2 million?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, and as I think most folks who have been following this know, I did step off the board voluntarily to avoid any appearance of a conflict of interest. So I personally do not have, exact knowledge of the precise amount in there. I can tell you my sense is that we're getting to the point where we're within, a couple to a few a few hundred thousand dollars. If anybody out there who supports Kyle can go to www.fightback.law and, contribute $50, $100, $250, we should reach that that goal line, very, very soon. So we believe it's imminent that we will be bailing out Kyle and we can get him with his family.
The state wanted the bail set high because they said he's a flight risk.
Yeah, that's with all due respect to everybody involved in that case, that's ludicrous. For multiple reasons. So number one, Kyle has no criminal record. This kid is an unbelievably patriotic and service oriented kid who is a lifeguard. At the scene on August 25th, after those tragic events unfolded, everybody can see on the video that he very calmly and very respectfully attempted to turn himself into multiple, Kenosha Police Department units on the scene. They told him to go home. That's what he did. And within minutes, himself and his family made the, very sound decision to go ahead and turn himself in at the Antioch police station.
Yeah.
There is zero flight risk with respect to that.
There's no denying the fact that he did pull the trigger. He did shoot in two separate instances at people, killing two and injuring a third, right?
So I want to be very clear. We have not received all the or any of the ballistics report or medical examiner's reports yet. So, I want to be very careful in terms of characterizing, who he did or did not actually kill. He obviously was involved in those two sets of shootings. It was 100% self-defense, completely justified from a legal standpoint. If this is not self-defense in this case for Kyle Rittenhouse, John, quite frankly, we don't have a right of self-defense.
What's the legal threshold for that? How do you determine that?
Yeah, so there's all kinds of analysis online. It's a very intricate, sort of legal analysis. But in this instance, it's not even close. Essentially, if you are in imminent fear of serious bodily harm or death, you are allowed to defend yourself with proportionate force, which is what he did. Moreover, he retreated at every single instant in the course of all of each of these shootings that unfortunately occurred. And if you take a look at, there are a lot of experts on self-defense online who have analyzed this to an extraordinary degree. And there is uniform conclusion that this was absolutely justified self-defense. I have to tell you, I have not seen one coherent argument from anyone on the planet as to how this is not self-defense.
I haven't seen the first video yet. I know you sent it to me, and I'm just now watching some of it as we speak. The video that I've seen, and maybe more people have seen, is the second shooting where the kid with the skateboard is coming upon him, and he does fire upon that person. That kid was going to attack him, did attack him, but that young man did not have a gun, and obviously Kyle did. I guess in a
let me I can just break in 1 second here, John. So first of all, that individual, Mr. Huber, attacked Kyle by hitting him in the head with the sharp edge of a skateboard, which could have killed Kyle right there and then. And then he aggressively and obviously attempted to take Kyle's AR-15 from him. And he could have, and I have to believe would have shot and killed Kyle. And so Kyle was in imminent fear of serious bodily harm or death, and that is what is required under the law to justifiably defend yourself, and that's what he did.
Did he legally have that gun?
Absolutely. So under Wisconsin law, Wisconsin is an open carry state. If you take a look closely at the statutes that the state has charged him on, that is an incorrect charge as a matter of law. As a 17-year-old, he was absolutely entitled to have that firearm in his possession that night. And so that charge is incorrect as a matter of state law.
The charge here as well, they filed it with the expectation, I presume, that they can get a conviction on it. But it's strangely worded to me. It says 2 counts of felony homicide and possession of a dangerous weapon while under the age of 18. Of course, it's a dangerous weapon, but for some reason they draw the distinction at the age of 18, though you could have it at 17. So I wonder if there are some restrictions in the case of somebody that was specifically his age. Kyle's mother is also on a line, and we've got some questions for her, too. Can you tell me what kind of weapon it was that he had while he was up there?
Yeah, this was an AR-15.
And so a 17-year-old, you're saying, can legally walk around with an AR-15 in Wisconsin?
He absolutely, under Wisconsin law, was entitled to have that weapon, that firearm.
And where did he get the weapon? Do you know how he acquired it?
That was from a friend, and the weapon was always in Wisconsin.
So a friend in Wisconsin gives him the weapon to patrol the streets that night.
Well, I don't want to characterize anything, regarding anybody's intent. There are legal proceedings that are related to the firearm, and I want to be careful not to prejudice, anybody's rights.
His mother, Wendy, is listening to this conversation, too. Wendy, I appreciate your joining us today. Can you hear us okay?
I can hear you.
Anything you'd like to sort of insert here as we've been talking a little bit about your son's case?
What John said and everything is right down the middle. And Kyle will be coming home shortly. We just need help to get him out.
Yeah. And then John, it's easier to work with a client if they're not in jail. You can meet with them more often, that sort of thing, huh?
Yeah, sure. So, there are multiple reasons why it makes sense for him to be bailed out. Like you just said, number one, we do need to be able to work with Kyle very closely in preparation for the trial. As you know, there are, hundreds or a thousand angles of video of this event. I think it's probably going to be unique in American legal history for there to be so much, sort of open source video evidence as to what happened. So we need to be able to work with him very closely on that front. Quite candidly, it's going to be less of a burden on, Kenosha County, both from a financial standpoint and a security standpoint, to have to house him before trial. And he's not a flight risk. So we're looking forward to getting him home very soon.
So what's the next date on the calendar for your client?
Sure thing. So the next date is December 3rd. That is a preliminary hearing. We have, along with, Linwood has done an amazing job. We have built an incredible defense team. We have the best criminal defense lawyers in Wisconsin who are going to be leading the charge in Wisconsin, with lots of other lawyers, including myself, right there to help in any way that we need. And so that's the next date is December.
Do you know when the trial would the trial actually begin, I wonder?
Yeah, so there's no trial date set yet, I can't say for sure how far out it would be. I would imagine in a case of this, type of seriousness, and high profile nature, with all the preparation that's going to need to be done to make sure we try it correctly, I would imagine we're looking at something like a year out, but that could
really?
Be, that's just kind of speculation.
Yeah. I think what works against your client in a court of public opinion, maybe in a courtroom as well, I guess it depends on how everything is portrayed, but I think there's this this vigilante image we have of him. This is a young man not trained to do this kind of work, carrying around what people describe as an assault weapon and shooting and killing people. If he were not or didn't have that gun, I'll let you respond, but just let me paint for you what I think you're up against, and that is, I think were he not there or if he didn't have that gun, none of this would have been happening. And it's not helpful to tell citizens, just go on out there and protect the town. And now we've got two men dead, another injured, and your client's in jail. This is lawlessness on both sides, and it doesn't help. It doesn't also help that there's other video out there of Kyle, what did I see him at school one day, coming up from behind a girl and punching her in the head. And so the idea that this is some Boy Scout out there to do civic good is not borne out by the video or the impression that people have of that scene.
Okay, so with all respect in the world, John, you are completely incorrect about all of that, and I understand that you're talking about perception, but let me kind of clarify some of that. So first and foremost, Kyle was protecting his sister in that incident that you're referring to. I would have done the same thing if I had a sister, and I would expect that my boys would have done the same thing if their sister was being attacked. And that is completely, of course, irrelevant to the events of August 25th. Second of all, the lawlessness here, to the extent there is some, is squarely on the shoulders of the Kenosha mayor, who pulled back the police on the Wisconsin governor, who refused multiple offers by President Trump to have the National Guard called in. And once he did, a couple of days later, things were just fine. That city was burning to the ground. It was a war zone. Kyle cares about that community. He works in that community. He has family members that work in that community. He did not go there to shoot anyone. He did not go there to play police officer. He went there for two very specific reasons. First and foremost, he went there to treat wounded protesters, which he did multiple times. I think he treated three wounded, protesters I believe they're all rioters. But he did that. Secondly, he was asked with a couple of friends to protect a local business that had been, essentially 80% burned to the ground. The owners were desperate to protect what was left of their life's work. Not a single grown-up person was doing anything to protect that city. And, I've gotten to know this kid very well. I've never met a more service-oriented human being in my life. He went there to help people, and he got caught in a terrible situation and had to defend himself.
Wendy, his mother's on a phone line, and we were having trouble with the connection there, but let's just reintroduce her to the conversation. Sure. Wendy, I trust you've been able to listen to this. Do you want to join the conversation here?
What John said, it was 100% truth about Kyle.
How often do you talk to him, Wendy?
I talk to him every day.
How is he doing? What's his attitude like? What are those conversations like?
Our conversation is about our family, our animals, and when he comes home, and what's our plans when he comes home.
How you're going to be celebrating or be together, that sort of thing?
We're going to be together.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to let Kyle be out of my sight.
Yeah, no kidding. What was your reaction when you first heard that Kyle had done this?
That night changed everything, and I still am foggy about that night, and my son went there to help people. He did not go there to hurt anybody. He was there to help people.
Did you know that he was going up there, Wendy? Did he tell you, hey, I'm going up to Kenosha?
No.
He didn't? Where did you think he was, or how did you find out that he was there?
He spent the night at a friend's house the night before. I worked on a Monday. I worked a 16-hour shift at my job. I got home about maybe 11:30, 12 o'clock Monday night. Did my take a shower, get ready for bed, and slept in, and did errands that day. And we had to go to work to get a COVID test done.
So then you find out later on, you thought he was at a friend's house, that he was up there. You must have been you must have been shocked to discover all that had transpired, huh?
He was in Kenosha that day helping the community clean up from the protesters, rioters, at local schools and everything. He was there to help.
Okay. Any last comment from you, John? I mean, so you mentioned December 3rd, and then maybe a year before this case actually gets tried. If a high-profile case like this goes the way high-profile cases sometimes do, huh?
Yeah, that's my best sense, John. I mean, and by the way, thank you very much for helping us to get our side of the story out. The main thing, my sole focus in life right now is to get Kyle bailed out. So I would simply ask all your listeners who understand how important the right of self defense is to please go to fightback.law and donate so that we can get Kyle bailed out and fund his defense properly.
John Pierce, the attorney for Kyle Rittenhouse, from California, but here in the Chicago area these days, working with Wendy's family. Okay, Wendy, thank you for joining us, too. I appreciate the time, both of you. We're interested in following this case, and that's where it is today.